Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The One Fab Day Wedding Podcast.
Welcome back to the One Fab Day Wedding Podcast, the show that aims to give you all the tools, information and advice you need to plan your wedding your way. We all want to look and, more importantly, feel our best on our wedding day. And today we'll be chatting about how to do just that with freelance beauty therapist Kira McCluskey.
As you know by now, we're not here to flog expensive skin creams or harp on about swanky skin needling treatments. Today's episode will be a practical, real talk guide to pre-wedding beauty, whether you're all in for fortnightly facials or you just want to do the bare minimum to avoid a breakout.
And we won't just be talking skincare either. We've got lots of questions for Kira, from when to wax before your wedding to what tan to use on super pale skin.
I think the me's of the world who don't really buy in a big way to like beauty treatments and products still want to know about these things, about the like cool facials, the trending words in beauty. So it'd be great to actually put those to Kira and tell us like which ones are worth the cash and the effort and which ones you should just avoid.
Yeah, definitely. I think the beauty world is really intimidating, or can be. It doesn't have to be. And I think it's become a lot more democratic with the internet, because you have all these vloggers and YouTubers and Instagrammers who explain things a little bit better. But then you go into a shop and you feel like you're about to be swizzed. So I think today's chat will be good for, yeah, getting a feel for what ingredients you should be looking for, what exactly you should be asking for, and what you really, really need ahead of your big day.
Yeah, we did pick our guest on this episode really carefully, because I think you can like someone's personality on Instagram and be interested in like, oh, what face cream do they use? But really what I want to know is like, what's the science behind it? Why am I using this acid? What does it do for the skin? How does it do it? How long does it take to do it? And all of those pieces of information are something that Kira, as a professional, will be able to give us.
One Fab Day Expert Wedding Tips.
We know all about the hard work that goes into planning a wedding, so each week we dust off one of our best insider tips to make managing the budget, logistics or flow of your day that little bit easier. Selena, you've got today's tip, and I believe it's about a topic close to my heart.
It is. It's about wine for the meal and how to tell how much wine you need for your meal. So obviously this is something that every couple will probably have to work out if they're having a seated dinner.
Yeah, we get this question a lot.
A lot. And I got sick of trying to answer it in person to people, so I made an entire post about it and I made a calculator.
It's a very good calculator.
I used all of my leaving certificate math and I made a calculator, so you literally can go on to onefabday.com. You can find our post on how much wine do I need for my wedding. It'll be in the food and drink category. I'll be on the homepage last week and this week, so if you do a bit of scrolling, you'll find it. We'll link it in the show notes, of course. And basically, I've given you a basic formula if you'd like to work it out yourself. And I've also made a calculator and embedded it on the website. So all you need is put in your own deets and it's right there. And one tip I would give on top of this as well is, if you think you're the kind of person who's going to be fretting about people not having enough wine at the meal, or people feel like you haven't been generous enough, or if that's something you think you're going to worry about, I would say, to save yourself worrying on the day, whatever your results are, up it by 10%, which for most people will only end up being a few bottles. I think it's worth the money, number one, to save yourself, you know, not listening to your father's speech because you're worried that maybe the wine is running out. And also, you might be able to get some of the money back from the extra wine, depending on how your venue or your caterer or the wine producer works. So you can always ask them what their policy is for if you order too much wine.
Worst case scenario, you've got more wine to drink after your wedding.
Yeah, worst case scenario, they'll send it off with you in your boot. And, you know, you'll have a nice couple of weeks after the wedding.
Yeah. What I love about this is it doesn't just take the old adage of a half bottle of wine per person, because I don't actually think that's realistic, depending on who your guests are and how many you have. So, yeah, this calculator is a lot more accurate. Yeah. Definitely check it out.
Yeah, I think if nothing else, just do it to keep me happy because I've poured my heart and soul into this thing.
Send the clicks Selena's way.
Thank you.
The One Fab Day Wedding Podcast.
A few months back, we had the wonderful Aidan Corcoran in the studio to talk wedding makeup. And in among all the chat about product recommendations and tips for your trial, we were overwhelmed by the volume of questions that came in about skincare, grooming and pre-wedding beauty treatments. And as versed as Claire and I are in the mantra of cleanse, tone and moisturise, there is a limit to our expertise. So today we're joined by a seasoned expert who's going to answer lots and lots of your questions.
Kira McCluskey is a freelance beauty therapist with almost 10 years experience in facials, laser treatments, waxing, tinting, tanning, plucking and painting nails. She's seen it all and is perfectly placed to guide us through our pre-wedding beauty timeline. She also happens to be the person I trust with my eyebrows, so I'm happy to vouch we're in safe hands. Welcome to the podcast, Kira.
Thank you very much.
So we're going to start with skincare, which seems to be the thing that all of our listeners and readers really want to know the skinny on.
Yes.
We've got so many questions about skincare, and I think it's an area that people feel like they need to be doing all of this stuff and prep, and a lot of people were like, how much of this stuff and prep
and how much should
need?
I be spending on it as well was a big one that came in.
Yeah, a lot of questions. Okay. About how do I get ready for the big day without spending literally half my wedding budget on facials.
Yeah.
So that's the first question, is how can I prep my skin for the wedding without spending a fortune?
I would always recommend going and getting a facial. Mm-hmm. First anyway, just so I suppose they say what type of skin you have, if you have any skin conditions, if there's acne going on or anything like that. They say kind of 6 months to a year is when you should start prepping the skin. And if you're going to be getting facials every 6 to 8 weeks, that's going to rack up. So yeah, it is pricey. You're definitely better off getting even a course of 3 facials if you can. It does take 4 weeks for you to see any difference in the skin. Because of the layers of the skin, it takes 4 weeks to go from the bottom to the top. So how best to do it on a budget, I suppose, invest in a facial and see what that therapist recommends. Trust the therapist. I think that's really important. You don't want to be going somewhere where they're just throwing a load of products and they just want you to buy a load of products. It has to work for your skin. And I think that will help you if you can kind of say, well, I know my skin is dehydrated, or I know I'm oily, or at certain times of the day I'm oily. It's about knowing your skin so that you know what products you don't need and that your list doesn't end up being the length of your arm. A basic routine, I think, is really important. And repetition. Your skin likes routine and it likes repetition. So, you know, your double cleanse, your acetone, a little spritz, serums, a moisturizer. Like, it doesn't have to be a really 20-minute routine. You can have 5 to 10 minutes, but it's once you're using the right products for your skin. Your skin will change as well. So when people say, oh, how many moisturizers do I need? We change our clothes spring, summer, autumn, winter, and your skincare is unfortunately the same. Your skin will change, so you have to change your skincare. So start off with a professional and see what they recommend and make sure that they're invested in your skin. I think your gut feeling, you know whether you get on with the therapist or not and if you trust them, and that's where to start from. Yeah.
Can I ask what might be a stupid question?
No, there's no stupid questions.
Is double cleanse just cleansing twice?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so people get really, yeah. And I think the famous, like, you know, skincare guru Caroline Hirons really brought this in, you know, double cleanse. And I was actually shocked when I started working in a salon at how many people don't know how to clean their face. And I don't mean that like condescendingly. They just, I suppose years ago, the beauty industry comes down to a lot of marketing. And years ago, do you remember it was like the Anne French cleanse milk and your like your cotton wool type of thing? You need face cloths. Go to Penny's, get 10 face cloths, cheap, maybe grey because mascara doesn't come out with the white ones. And I would say, yeah, always if you wear a lot of mascara or eye makeup or makeup, use like, I don't like the micellar waters, but use them to get off the mascara and then go in with your 2 cleansers. Your double cleanse should have 2 separate cleansers.
Okay.
We can talk about that as well if you like.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be super expensive. Usually they'd say like people are wearing SPF now or their tinted moisture has SPF. So you're going to need something with an oil or an emollient or a balm to lift that dirt out. So your first cleanse is usually take off your eye makeup, remove your mascara or your makeup. Your second cleanse, typically, I know you can't see my inverted commas there, is like, you know, go with your oil or your balm or your milk. And then your actual second cleanse, I call it, so I need to do 3.
Okay.
So your actual like last cleanse then is to cleanse the skin. So that's really important because you want the cleanser that's going to treat your skin then, if that makes sense.
Mm.
So the first kind of 2 are just to get the stuff off your face.
Essentially, and then if, makeup removing.
Yeah, and let's say you have a day where you don't have makeup on. I'd go in with, like, let's say an oil cleanser or a balm cleanser, and then hot face cloth, nice warm water, good zhuzh around, and then go back in with your second, with your milk or your oil, and that's when you can kind of give your skin that good massage as well. And you want to kind of have that bit of erythema, that bit of redness going through the skin. Face cloth, take it off, hot clean water again, and not scalding, not just like lukewarm water. It's very confusing. I think the jargon and all the beauty industry, and when you go into the beauty halls, it's very overwhelming as well.
Yeah, because it's just, you do hear a lot of these words and you think you're supposed to know, and then you're suddenly, like, it feels too late to ask.
Yeah, so double cleanse. It's two cleanses, especially, but then, you know, mine is nearly a triple cleanse because I take off my mascara with, like, you know, an eye makeup remover or something, because it's just dreadful coming out of the face cloth.
So. Otherwise, it'll just be all over your face.
Exactly. Yeah, and I didn't know you'd recommend two different ones. In my head, you just use the same one twice, so that's good to know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're learning so much, Carol, already. Somebody asked what kind of facials should they get in the run-up to the big day. I presume you would recommend they find a good facialist and focus on that rather than getting the, like, hot new facial.
Yeah, I'm not into that. And there's, like, I won't even say the facial that's gone around at the moment, but there's a new Instagram facial that a lot of people have been sent for, and it's, like, being heavily promoted. And I don't agree with one of the treatments they do in it, because I think it's too abrasive on the skin. You essentially, let's say you have, I don't know, hormonal acne, which a lot of women would have, so you want to go in lasers and IPL treatments and things like that. That's what you want to be getting to treat, peels and things like this. This is what's going to treat the skin. They'll be able to tell you what type of cleanser you should be using. If they talk about masks and things like that, a clay mask, never spend a lot of money on a clay mask. It's essentially dirt, so don't spend a lot on it. Like, you can get a Boots job, that's grand. Hydrating face masks, I'm all for them. Anything that says hydrating, give me it in bucket loads. I just want the hydration, because 90% of the time we're all dehydrated constantly. And that's the difference. Somebody, I think, was asking about dry and dehydrated skin. So dry skin is when your skin is, like, flaky. You know when you put a product on your skin and it feels like it doesn't absorb into it? It's just sitting there. Flakiness, irritation, that's dry skin. And usually people with dry skin have a skin type, and that's dry skin. Dehydrated skin is basically everybody. And that's basically, it's a lack of water in the skin. So, you know, if you put on your makeup and you're like, where's my makeup gone? It's gone very patchy and it just disappears. Or if you put a moisturiser on and it goes straight away, you're dehydrated. So I always treat people, though, for dehydration anyway, because we're always dehydrated. So you want hyaluronic acid. That's a big ingredient that you should be using day in, day out, 24/7, 12 months of the year. You should be using a hyaluronic acid in your morning routine.
And for those kind of new products where it's very ingredient led, is there a certain percentage people should be looking for, or is there, like, are the cheaper products? Because there's a lot of brands that just do the kind of generic ones.
The ordinary.
Are they good? Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, there's so much, like, vitamin A, vitamin C, they've been around for years and they've been in lots of products, I suppose, with the industry and with Instagram. The information is spreading faster, so people know what they're talking about now, and, you know, they know what's in things. Vitamin C is great for brightening. Vitamin A is essentially retinol. Now, there's so many other, I won't even go into it. There's retinol, there's retinoic acid, there's retinoids. Anything that you get over the counter, let's say The Ordinary or, I don't know, Paula's Choice or any of those, they will have a good strength retinol in them or a vitamin C, but they're not going to be extreme. You know, whatever you get in a salon will definitely be a higher percentage. They do work. I like some of The Ordinary stuff. Yeah, I really do. I like Indeed Labs as well. They're in Boots. They do a really good hyaluronic acid. Somebody was asking about melasma and pigmentation. They do a really good product called Peptobright, and that's to brighten pigmentation. So there is a fabulous peel, a set of peels for melasma. It costs quite a lot of money. So if you are on a budget, Peptobright is a really good product for lightening. So yeah, I think what I would say is get to know your skin, and when you're cleansing your skin, look in the mirror and say, right, what am I today? Am I dry? Am I a bit oily? Am I this? Because the more that you know about your skin, it's going to save you a lot of money, you know? Like, I was typically oily as a teenager. I suffered with very bad cystic acne. That's why I went into beauty. Now I think I was treating my skin as oily the last 10 years. I've totally changed. My skin is probably normal. And in the summertime, it's a little bit of an oil slick down the middle. So I changed my routine and my skincare based upon that, you know. So if you wear acne as a teenager, you know, your skin might have, it probably has changed, and you could be treating it as it was. The Ordinary are great for products. Be careful of what they come in. So, like, the vitamin C from The Ordinary comes in its silicone base. And I bought this, and it's a good product, but I wouldn't use it because I don't like the feel of silicone. So even if that was 10 euros or 40 euros, if you don't like the feel of something, you're not going to use it. Find an SPF that you like, because if you don't like the texture of the SPF, you're not going to put it on your face every morning. La Roche-Posay is a good high street SPF, by the way. I really like that one. And Avene or Avene, it sits very well under makeup in the day. And your SPF should be the last thing you put on as well, before your foundation.
Oh, before. I was like, before your foundation.
No, before your foundation.
You're working with novices here. You need to be very clear. Yeah. Not the listeners, just me. And you mentioned there about how we're basically all dehydrated.
Yeah.
Which is fair. Someone asked about things like drinking water and diet, and whether you think that really has a huge bearing on the appearance of the skin.
I do, yeah. I think not so much for, I wouldn't say like, acne for me is usually, it's genetic or hormonal. For me, I had it both ways. So I don't think if you eat a Mars bar, you've got acne. No, nothing like that. But I know, like, let's say you go to a wedding on a Friday and you're eating and drinking, and then the Saturday there's loads of sugar and you're eating and drinking, and then a Sunday you have the fear, so you get a takeaway. Monday morning I will wake up with a spot and you'll be looking dull and flaky. So your lifestyle will, smoking and alcohol 100%, because they dehydrate the skin, so you're going to look dull and ashen. Water doesn't necessarily hydrate the skin. It's your fruit and veg actually hold more water content, so that's actually better for the hydration of the skin. But the water definitely flushes out toxins, so of course you need the water. But I would say, yeah, like the top layer of our skin, I think it's like 20% of water. So hyaluronic acid definitely in there, loads of water to flush out, clear the toxins. And I think people don't do enough of like a facial massage on their skin with like a nice facial oil. Because when you just get it going, like, or, you know, you can do lymphatic drainage massage. That's all to get toxins out. And the other day somebody was talking about dark circles under the eyes. And I would suffer with that. It's usually genetic. If you look at maybe your parents or your aunt, they'll have it. And you can minimize the appearance of that with certain eye creams, brightening creams. But it is a genetic kind of issue. But I actually done a facial massage the other night on me, because I was like, oh my God, I have two young kids, my eyes were so dark underneath. And I just done like a facial massage with a nice oil that night, and my skin was brighter looking and the eyes didn't look as dark. So all those things do work. I think it's getting things down to like a 10-minute routine for yourself in the night. And I would say, like, the minute you come home, let's say you get home at 6 in the evening, then do your skincare routine, because you want to sit on the couch, watch whatever you're watching, and then your products are working. You're not just lying down on the pillow and the pillow's getting the benefit of all your products, you know. You want them to be in and on your skin. But yeah, diet definitely high fruit and veg, like you know, cucumbers, melons, that type of thing, high water content veg and fruit, lots of water. And supplements definitely work. If you do suffer with chronic dry or dehydrated skin, omega fish oils, but it will take, I mean, minimum 8 weeks to see the benefits of that. And for me, what really works as well, if you have suffered with acne or bad skin, is I take a probiotic, and that has changed my skin. Like, I don't even get a hormonal spot anymore. And probiotics. So I'm very much so for that type of thing, with omegas and probiotics for the skin, definitely, yeah.
Amazing. And in terms of, I know you mentioned probiotics and you mentioned omega-3s. What do you think about the supplements that are specifically marketed as like
collagen,
beautiful skin, beautiful hair supplements? Would you recommend kind of going into the pharmacy and asking, or how do you figure out what's the best supplement?
I think
to take?
There's a brand called, isn't it, Perfect Hill?
Yes.
And that's for hair and nails. It's actually quite good. Yeah, it is quite good. If you suffer, like, you know, we'd have people, I want to prep my skin for my wedding. They're really brittle. They can't grow a certain length. And I'd say, well, have you tried this? And they're like, oh, yeah, yeah. And it really works. It does work. Yeah, I think, again, it's to know what you need. If you're dry or dehydrated, omegas. And in general, I think you should just be taking them anyway for really good skin health. A lot of people don't get enough fish in their diet anyway, so they're just brilliant for your skin. And a probiotic, just, I'd take it as well because it's gut health, so it's really good for your skin. Yeah, they do work. The Perfect Hill one does work for hair and nails.
Okay, I've heard as well you need to like commit, as in you can't take them for 3 weeks and say this isn't working for
no,
me. You
like,
need to give it a few
thing.
months.
Like, I think out of sight, out of mind. So like my probiotics and things like that, they're beside my coffee machine, because it's what I go for in the morning is coffee. And I'm like, oh grand, there they are, take them in the morning. Like, let's say you've dry hands at night, I keep a hand cream by my bed. It's the last thing you see at night. You're going to pop it on. It takes 2 seconds, you know. Just keep things in your eye line so that you'll remember to do them, yeah.
I love that tip as well about doing your skincare routine when you get home
you
from
get
work.
Home, yeah, yeah.
Because then I'm not going to get too tired and fall asleep on the couch and just be like, oh, I don't want to do it now.
Yeah, I think I'm doing well if I do a single cleanse before bed. So
yeah, just come in the evening and do it. And then I even put, like, tonight now, be hair up in a bun and be hydrating face mask or something on my skin, whatever it needs tonight, you know. And then you can tell that off before bed, so you're not going to bed with like a sticky face mask on. And then just put on your night serum or whatever you put on. Yeah,
we're learning a lot. So much.
One listener has written in to ask, what should someone do to reduce redness?
It depends what the redness is. So there could be redness from like acne scarring. There could be, it could be rosacea. There's a lot of people could be just super sensitive. And at this time of year, you know, if you don't wear anything on your face and you get off the Lewis and the wind and the rain are kind of belting your skin, like that could be that. So if it's that type of thing, I'd say definitely wear an SPF because it protects the skin like a barrier. Rosacea or things like that, you can definitely go in and get peels and get, you know, treatments tailored to that. And I think the vitamin C is good to have as well because it brightens the pigmentation in the skin. So it's always a good, like, a basic thing to have in your cabinet, you know. Like, you always have a Pseudocream, always. Everybody should have, like, a retinol and a vitamin C in their cabinet as well. So,
what's the Pseudocream for?
The Pseudocream for everything.
Oh.
Not spots. No, not spots.
Okay.
But anything else. Or Cicaplast is another one, a brilliant one from La Roche-Posay. So if I wear a certain type of foundation, I break out and it's like little lumps or bumps under the skin. Or, you know, if you get off a plane and you just feel kind of patchy and gross, Cicaplast, it's a really thick balm, but it's, I think it's actually for babies' bums. But I use that as a mask after I fly or during flight. Or if I just use a new product and I'm like, oh, something's just reacted there, this is brilliant for getting the skin barrier back to normal. A really good one to have on your press.
While you mentioned flying, someone did get in touch and said they have an 8-hour flight on the way to their wedding.
Yeah.
So they want to know how to avoid a breakout.
Avoid alcohol on the flight, tons of water. I would go with no makeup on my face and I would mask it up. So yeah, sheet masks all the way, hydrating sheet masks. If you are particularly like oily or anything like that, a little clay mask maybe, but I don't know if people are brave enough to do that on a flight. I would be. A little clay mask, you know. And after a clay mask, I always would do a hydrating face mask because the clay can be quite drying. Again, get on the probiotics straight away.
Mm.
Yeah, definitely.
Someone asked about dry skin and how to combat that. What are your kind of top tips?
Dry skin is a lack of oil in the skin. Is this on, I'm guessing it's on the face, maybe not the body, I'm not too sure.
I think it's skincare related.
On the face.
Yeah.
So basically you'd be changing your, you'd be looking at your moisturizer. I wouldn't be using anything, don't use like too hot water because, you know, we think we're freezing off, getting into the shower in hot water. And I'd never clean your face in the shower either. I'd always do it at your sink. I know a lot of people do that in the shower and they're like, oh, this is great, it's so quick. But like, it's a really hot, usually temperature, and it's just, you know, it's not great. It's grand, but at your sink in front of your mirror is better because then you can look at what your skin needs. Dry skin, yeah, I'd definitely look at changing your moisturizer. And anything that says Hydra, you know, a lot of those French brands, it's Hydra Late or Hydra, whatever. Anything that says Hydra or hydrating is what you want on your skin. You can use a face oil. Face oils are great as well. You get, you know, cleansing oils are different. I know it's very confusing. Cleansing oil or a face oil. Face oil is like a serum or a treatment, and that's what I'd be giving it a good massage with. What else would I be doing with dry skin? I don't think a lot of people are using an exfoliating toner. You know, we think of toners as the toners, like, again, years ago, you cleanse and tone. Exfoliating toners, so like your glycolic acid, salicylic, lactic, all those things, would definitely, glycolic would definitely help. Yeah, the glycolic acid mixed in there as well.
And can I just ask about the facial massage? Is that something you can do yourself, teach yourself how to do?
Yeah, there's
like
loads
YouTube?
Of things on YouTube. Yeah, okay. If you look up Nicola Joss, she's a really famous facialist in London. If you actually follow her on Instagram, she constantly has amazing, you know, I'm always like doing my jaw thing, and she always, and she's actually, she wears gloves for this. She created the facial inside your jaw. A lot of celebrities get this done. So she puts her fingers inside your cheek and it like sculpts your cheekbones and things like that. It's really, really popular with celebrities. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So
oh my
if
God,
you go onto her
a whole
Instagram, you'll see.
Other world yeah, you're introducing
yeah, yeah.
me to.
So she has really good tips though, like really basic, you know, get your jawline done and lymphatic drainage and just very simple steps and great to add into your nighttime routine. Yeah. Really
yeah, because I think that's what a lot of this is about, is trying to come up with something
quick,
small, quick, practical.
It's small little changes that you're going to stick to as well. Yeah.
Yeah, that you can do and you're not thinking, God, I'm not going to do this every day for a year.
And don't think of it like a chore either. Like maybe it's because I have two young kids. I run up the stairs to take off my makeup. Like, I'm like, this is 10 minutes of pampering. This is amazing. Put on some music, you know, stick a hair mask. I'm like loving my life upstairs. Yeah, but I mean, I don't think of it as a chore, you know, and just kind of get to know your skin a bit better. Yeah.
Yeah, I think part of it is if you do it earlier when you're not half
asleep.
Yeah,
definitely. Straight in the door, especially in the winter, because, you know, it's darker earlier and you can just want to snuggle down. So up, get your comfies on, take your makeup off, a couple of face masks. Like,
nice.
Yeah.
Again, you're more likely to do it if it's an enjoyable part
exactly,
of your day and you maybe light a candle or you have music on or whatever you do to, like, zhuzh yourself
and
up.
Also, I just think it's like, you know, when you come home and you have a shower, when you just feel I just feel I love taking off my makeup from the day, you know. Mm. And I just think that, like, if you're walking around, there's pollution and people smoking and all that gross is on your face, so you just need to get that off. You don't want that going to the pillow, you know. So
yeah. You've touched on this already, but mm-hmm. someone has asked, how do you avoid a dull complexion?
Yeah, again, I would say people would notice, especially this time of year, we're all kind of looking a bit grey and stuff. Yeah, so definitely a facial massage will help in your routine. Vitamin C in the morning to brighten your skin. And vitamin C is an antioxidant as well, so that's going to fight against free radicals. It's going to fight against pollution and things like that. And what else? Yeah, definitely an exfoliating toner, probably a glycolic in there as well. Not every day. With percentages and things like that, ease yourself in to anything that's a percentage or a glycolic acid every other day or like a couple of times a week, you know. I think a lot of us go hell for leather because we want to see like instant, you know. And that's the worst, because then you could break out, you could have sensitivity, irritation, and you're like, oh, I'm not going to use that. It's just because we're too, you know, rough and ready for our skin. Just little and often is better, like. Yeah,
someone has asked us, should you prep your skin differently for a winter wedding?
Yeah, just kind of what I said before, like in the winter, your skin will be drier and more dehydrated. So definitely have a lot more hydrating masks. Change to, if you're using like an oil or a balm cleanser, I would go to like a milk cleanser or a very light gel. Nothing foaming, that's going to dry out and dehydrate the skin even more. And I definitely up my omegas, definitely for the winter, for a winter wedding. Yeah, that's it really. It's just, I think they do try and confuse you, I suppose. And it doesn't need to be confusing. It needs to be simple enough, you know. And once you're cleaning and regular, get like a 4 or 5 step routine and have it down and be consistent. Don't do it on Monday and say, oh, I'll do it on Thursday. Every single night, you know, quick and easy.
And on the flip side then, someone asked about when their wedding is going to be in warm weather, the summer, or a destination wedding.
Yeah, the skin can be oilier and things like that. I would say, so in the summertime, you're going to want probably like an oil or a gel cleanser, something light and fresh to take away the oil. What else? I suppose with your skin, it's not going to be, I suppose it's really more the makeup for the wedding in a hot country. So they'll know like primers that won't budge and things like that. Face mists are really nice as well, especially, I meant to say that, for when you're flying. So a really nice face mist. Caud de Lille do a gorgeous one. Armavichka do a gorgeous one. Clinique do a gorgeous one. Moisture Surge, that's more budget and it's a huge bottle that lasts for ages. And if you go through duty free, Clinique always have it in a set and it's really good. And like if you're at the office dry, dehydrated, and you know at 3 o'clock in the day you're just feeling a bit meh, the Clinique Moisture Surge, a spritz, is absolutely gorgeous, just to kind of give the skin a bit of a hit. Yeah,
I mean, I always carry those sprays, but I never think they actually do anything.
No, they actually do. Yeah, they do.
One listener has asked how they can prep the rest of their skin on their body, pre-wedding.
Yeah, so I would say, again, find something that's quick and easy. Like, you have to be prepping the skin, especially if you're going to be having tans and things done. So, like, I have the exfoliating gloves in the shower. So do them, not every day, every couple of days. Find a moisturiser that you like, because I know... I think you had an oil or something, you're like, I'll only use that at nighttime, I won't use it in the daytime. Yeah. So there's a lot of those in shower, you know, ones that you spray on. They're grand if you're really strapped for time. The best thing to do, like let's say in the evening, is get out of the shower, pat your skin dry, not totally dry, and then pop your moisturizer on top. It'll absorb better into the skin. If you suffer with keratosis pilaris, that's chicken skin on the back of, you know, the arms, the back of the legs, and that's kind of after winter as well, we've had our skin covered up, you want lactic acid. So that's fantastic for breaking down the keratin, the little balls kind of basically. And there's a really good product called Ameliorate. It's a body moisturizer. And you get that in Harvey Nichols and you get it in Boots. I just love that. It's amazing and it works. It is pricey, I think it's about €30, but it works. Like, when a product works, it really does work. I think Dove do a high street brand and it's fine. I don't like the smell of it, so I'm not using it as much as the other ones. So it's all dependent on what you like. What else would I say? Yeah, I suppose just dry body brushing is great as well for getting the circulation going. And you stand on your mat and brush it up in circular motions towards the heart. That's brilliant for getting your circulation going. So if your legs are a bit dull and dehydrated or your body, that will help. CeraVe, that's like a high street Boots brand. They're in Boots. They do loads of like smoothing body lotions and body washes if you're kind of spotty, you know, or on your back or anything like that. And if you do suffer with anything like that in the back, La Roche-Posay do a really good spray in a blue tin, I'm trying to picture it now, called Zero Zinc, I think it's called. So zinc is fantastic if you have any breakouts as well, and you can spray that on your back. It's really handy. Yeah, it's really good. But I think there's a lot of they are bringing out a lot more body products now because people are breaking out, you know, on their back or back of the arms. Anything with lactic acid will get rid of the bumps. And then anything kind of with zinc or salicylic acid will get rid of the spots on the back and on the body.
Your mind of information.
Yeah, that's particularly important, I think, with the wedding dress, because so many dresses are backless.
Yeah,
you know, plunging neckline, sleeveless, and it might be a look that you don't really wear in your ordinary life, and you don't even think about it.
Or a low chest kind of, or anything, you know, their sweetheart neckline or anything like that. So it's important, yeah.
Yeah, we also actually had a question about your décolletage, how to keep that looking good as well.
The same tips, really, but be a lot less aggressive. The skin is so much thinner around here, so much thinner. I wouldn't even really put the scrubby gloves there. I'd be more going in with your exfoliating, like, body wash. It's really thin there and delicate, the skin there, so be super careful with it. And then I guess if you're having like a summer wedding, like tons of SPF, because that's the first place that will burn, and you do not want that mark, you know, for your wedding. So again, moisturize. I'm really a big fan of Garnier for their body moisturizers. They're really light and they're cheap as chips, and you can lash them on and they're grand, yeah, and they soak in nicely. Then if you want something a bit thicker for the body, but at night time, I'd go with a body oil. Clarins do a beautiful body oil as well. If you want something more luxurious, Laura Mercier do really nice ones, and the Body Shop do really good body butters as well, and that's more for nighttime because it's quite thick, so you know, going to bed with your jammies on.
How do you feel about the more invasive treatments? And often these get marketed to brides, and we're always, you know, a bit skeptical about such marketing ploys. But
is there any in particular that you're thinking?
Is there any that, like, you're a big fan of? Or
Are you talking Botox and things like this?
Yeah, just anything
Or like those, like, kind of scary peels that look frightening the next day.
Yeah, like, I've had tons of peels done, right? And if it's done properly, you never ever look like that. Okay, you do look red. Have you heard of microneedling?
Yes.
Yeah. So this is not if you have active acne. You cannot needle over active acne. It will spread the bacteria. So this is if you have like acne scarring, chicken pox scarring, you know, deep little pittings on the skin. Now, also, if you have fantastic skin, still get needled. It is one of the most amazing treatments you will ever have in your life.
Get needled.
Right. It's amazing.
You need to make t-shirts that say
it's
that.
It's just get needled. It's just, it's fantastic for the skin. It basically tricks the skin into thinking that it's damaged, so that the skin produces collagen. And when you produce collagen, it like rushes to like pump it out and plump it out. So it's just fab. Now, what do you look like? Is it sore? A little bit. They do numb you before, right, with the needling. And this is actually quite good. You know, if you have any on your back or anything like that, scarring, they will do it there. Chest, neck, all that jazz. You need to be getting this done a good few months before. Like a good few months. Like talking about maybe 6 months before. And you do need two or three treatments. It's not a trick or a ploy. You do need two or three treatments. They numb you and you feel, I don't really feel pain anymore because I've had that many treatments, but you feel a little bit of pain, but I'm fine with that once I know it's going to work. And afterwards, you look like you sat in the sun for a little bit too long.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, I fell asleep on the beach for an hour. You know, you look a bit sunburned and you feel hot. Cold face cloths throughout the day. It's gone down by the next day. The heat has gone down in an hour or two. And I'd kind of get it like on a Friday evening after work if I wasn't having a busy weekend, you know. And then I found my skin did dry out, like, wasn't really comfortable wearing makeup on it until maybe like day two or three afterwards. It really, really works as a treatment. IPL laser works as a treatment. That's great for if you have little marks or little red marks. Somebody asked about add-ons treatments as well, the LED lighting and things like that. Absolutely fantastic. The blue one is to get rid of bacteria in the skin, so that's great for acne. The red one is amazing. So if you get the needling and they add in the LED, the red light after, it's going to promote healing and it helps to promote collagen. So fantastic. It basically, if you've had a treatment done and you put the LED on it, it speeds up the recovery time. So they're fantastic. Botox, yeah, if it's going to make you happy, go for it. I've seen really good results. I think you don't want to look like you've had it done. You want to look fresh. I would be going to a doctor or a Botox doctor about a year in advance and talking about it, because when you get Botox done, it takes a while for it to settle and work in the skin. So you don't see, people think, oh, I've had it done, the next day I'll wake up, it could be like 2 weeks before, maybe a bit longer, before it's settled into the skin and worked. So like, you know, in about 3 weeks, someone will say, God, you look very fresh, you know, and that's when it's kicked in. Yeah. Go to places, what my recommendation would be, find people that somebody knows, because I wouldn't go to like a hairdresser unless somebody has recommended them to me, or like, you know, read the reviews online, get good feedback, do your research, you know. And yeah, you'll definitely, there, I think there is fantastic treatments out there, and a lot more places are doing them, but make sure that the right place is doing them and they're doing them properly, you know.
And you're going about this, you know, maybe thinking about it a year before, 6 months before,
definitely.
Not leaving it too late.
Oh god, no. I mean, you won't even see, like, anything you do with the skin, it takes 2 to 3 weeks to see it in the skin anyway, because it has to work from the basal layer up. So this is like, you want to be getting some of these treatments done a good few months. Botox probably start like going to a doctor maybe 6 months to a year before, just to get their advice. I'm not obviously a Botox doctor, but I have seen really good results, you know, especially like people are really worried about, oh, I, you know, some people get like braces for their wedding, or some people say, I just really hate that middle line when I frown, you know, the Botox will soften it, you know. And then people were asking about baby Botox is the same thing, it's just a smaller amount in a smaller area, that's all it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what about the peels? Someone asked, are skin peels worth the money?
Amazing, yeah, amazing. And, you know, they'd be tailored to whether you have redness or rosacea or whether you have acne. And they're always going to be like a higher percentage than what's over the counter. They really do work, they do.
So that like burned
look.
Like the like from an acid
Sex
peel.
Sex in the City.
Yes,
yeah,
that's what
I know.
I'm thinking.
Yeah.
So that doesn't happen.
No, it doesn't happen.
Oh, okay.
And if it does, they're doing something horrifically wrong. No, it should never happen. No.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you're going to be a little bit pink. You have had an acid on the skin.
Yeah.
But you're going to be pink. There's going to be erythema there, which is the heat and everything.
Yeah.
But, and the needling, like, I kind of went, oh, whoa. Like, I look like I'd sat in the sun. And that was the reddest I'd been. I'd never, ever been that red from a peel. And it was a strong peel. No. And what they'll do with the peel is they'll go in and they'll put it on for, let's say, 5 or 6 minutes. And then the next 4 weeks you go in, or 6 weeks, they'll go, okay, we're going to go for 8 minutes this time. They build it up, you know. They're not just going to go in hell for leather, you know, because that's totally irresponsible. It'll build, they'll build it up, and they'll build up the strength and the time that it's used.
Yeah.
And this next question, I think everyone is kind of worried about this. What if you feel like you've done everything you can, and then 4 days before the wedding you get a huge pimple?
Because you're stressed.
Probably because you're stressing that your skincare routine wasn't comprehensive enough.
Let's say it is a bit of a huge spot. Facial massage will help. So if you know those really sore kind of ones, that hormonal stress ones, definitely massage it into the face, and it will actually recede within maybe 24 hours. It will recede. What else do you want? You want in your arsenal a product called niacinamide, and The Ordinary do this. This is amazing. It calms down the skin, so it's great for inflammation in the skin, which the spot is going to be. I'd even get an ice cube on this and kind of just try to take the heat out of it and take it down. What else did you do? Massage it, niacinamide, and you want a little bit of salicylic acid. The Ordinary, I'm just saying that because I know they do them separately, individually, and I kind of at home mix a bit of this and mix a bit of that because I know what I need. If you suffer with spots, have salicylic and niacinamide in your little kit, ready to go in case anything happens that week. Yeah, don't be putting loads of makeup on it, just kind of keep it clean, the area.
Okay.
Don't be scrubbing at it, and do not squeeze at it, because that's going to make it 10 times worse.
You do not want
to be seeing blood, because the minute you see blood you're going to start scarring. Okay. So you don't want to be doing that.
Yeah, you don't want to anger it.
No, you don't.
Even
you want to take it down. Yeah, exactly. And do not put pseudocream on it. No way. You want salicylic acid on it, niacinamide. Like if you look, I think Mario Badushku, or I think that's his name, he's one of those brands. He also, I think online it will say like his spot clearing gel. And if you go in and look at the ingredients, and if you see salicylic acid, right, that's your man, that's what I need. And another thing is, get to know your ingredients list. And on an ingredients list, whatever is at the top, that's, so it has, if salicylic is at the top, it has a really high strength of salicylic. If salicylic is down the bottom, oh, there's not enough salicylic acid in that. So you want it at the top.
Okay, great. Yeah.
We're just mind blown.
Shell shock, taking it all in.
We've had another like person who started their question with help.
Okay.
Which I love, because that would be me. Someone has asked, they've said, I've done nothing to prep my skin. The wedding is in 6 weeks. Now, so much of what we've talked about, yeah, I'm sure you wouldn't recommend starting 6 weeks out.
I mean, it's better than nothing.
Okay.
You know, definitely. Like I said, get your routine. Maybe go to a salon and say, look, I need somebody to look at my skin and to give me, you know, a basic facial, like, so to clean it, get, you know, the pores, maybe a little bit of extractions, hydrating face mask. I want a basic facial. I don't want anything invasive because it's in 6 weeks. I don't think you should be starting loads of new products because you could react. So if you don't have problem skin, I'd say, well, stick to what you know. Definitely be cleansing the skin every night, double cleansing. Maybe throw an acetone in there because they're not going to be too strong. A good moisturizer. Serums are probably your hero for everybody as well, because serums penetrate better. So I would spend, like, let's say people were saying on budget, what would you spend on? I'd spend my money on serums. And I'd kind of definitely go maybe like drugstore for like, yeah, your niacinamide or a moisturizer. I like an expensive face mask because a hydrating one. you know, I would say maybe get some nice eye gel if you suffer with eye bags and things like that. You can get Patchology, do brightening ones. I know that's, we were saying about the dark circles as well. They do help. There is brightening eye creams. Get into a routine and just, yeah, go and see what they say about your skin. But if it's not, if there's no problem with your skin, continue what you're doing maybe, you know.
Maybe no just get a bit more disciplined with it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, a bit more of a routine.
Okay.
This question is quite similar. It's, what's the cutoff for experimenting with new products or treatments?
Yeah, I just wouldn't be throwing anything in. See, it's different for everybody, but then I do a lot of tans for brides, okay? I do a lot of spray tans for brides, and I had this client last year, and she went to a salon, it wasn't a salon actually. She went to a place that sell, you know, these places that they sell the skincare, but they might not necessarily have the education behind the skincare. And she went, and it was about 8 months before the wedding, and her skin was just up till about 4 weeks before the wedding. It was still not the way it should have been because it took that long. They gave her really, really high strength products and she was using them all together and her skin didn't know if it was coming or going, you know. So I'd be really careful. I suppose, like, I would start off, yeah, a year with something like, let's say, your acids or, you know, your IPLs or whatever, your peels. Definitely a year before. A retinol, I'd probably be adding that in straight away. Over the counter, they're not that high percentage. And I'd be adding that into your night routine every night. Yeah, I just wouldn't risk it personally. Yeah, I wouldn't risk it. 6 months before, like, I wouldn't risk it.
Okay. It's good to know. Mm. Someone said that they have a hollow under the eyes. They have a double line look. Do they mean bags, I guess?
No, I know what this means. It's like a little shelf that kind of goes in. And the skin here kind of, do you know, it kind of looks hardened maybe, and it kind of sits out. It's like a deep, like sagging in like that. There's fillers.
Okay.
Certain Botox doctors will do it. I know the eye area is
very delicate.
Yeah, and not a lot of people will touch it, but there are certain doctors that will, and they fill it with hyaluronic acid, I think. Yeah.
Okay, so if you have the time to look into that.
Yes, but I mean, around the eye area, it is, you know.
That does sound like something to do with the structure of the face rather than something you can pop a cream on for.
Yeah, it's not anything you pop a cream on. Yeah. If you're thinking of the fillers, it's hyaluronic acid filler, but obviously certain doctors do it and you'd have to look into that. There'd be nothing in a salon.
Okay, well, that's good to know.
Yeah. Mm.
So say it's the night before or the morning of your wedding.
Yes.
What should you be doing with your skin?
I'd be cleansing my face. I would be doing my little acetone. I would be spritzing my face. And then I'd be maybe putting on like a nice hydrating face mask. Some nice, you know, cooling under eye gel patches. Presuming you have, I think nearly everybody gets a makeup artist now for their wedding. So they really do prep the skin a lot. You know, they know what to put on the skin. But yeah, definitely like a nice, your nice spritz, your caudally spritz. And definitely lip balm. Definitely lip balm. Hand cream, that type of thing, you know. And I think those nice cooling eye patches are really nice, and they just kind of, they can brighten up if you have, because maybe you didn't sleep great the night before your wedding with the nerves. So like brightening eye patches and things like that. Yeah,
I missed out on all of this when I got married.
Oh, so did I.
Nobody gets it right the first wedding, right? I feel like we've covered a lot there in terms of skincare. We want to ask about tan.
Yes.
People have asked, when should you get your pre-wedding tan done? I think they mean like a spray tan.
Yeah. It depends on when the wedding is. So let's say you're getting married on a Friday. You'd be okay to get your spray tan on the Thursday. But if you're getting married down in Cork on the Friday and you're from Dublin and you're traveling down on the Thursday, then you're probably going to get it done on the Wednesday. And it doesn't mean that you get your spray tan darker that day either, because that's what people, you know, tend to do. No.
Rain it in, everyone.
Yeah. So you can get it done the day before. That's absolutely no problem. Most people do get it done the day before. Yeah.
So many of the questions we got asked about tan, and I can totally relate, are from people who are like, I don't want to look too dark. I'm not naturally tanned. I don't have olive skin. Like, I don't have that look. So a lot of women, I think, are very nervous about.
Definitely get a trial. Like, what I do is I would predominantly spray tan just people for their weddings, and I would do a trial. So their hens, they always get a spray for, but then they're always like, oh, Kira, lash on a good 2 or 3 sprays there. So I'm like, well, that's not the trial for your wedding. So, you know, then let's say their friend is getting married and they say, right, okay, I'll get my wedding trial. So definitely get a couple of trials, because you need to know whether the tan will react with your skin well. You want to know if it wears off well, because there's nothing worse than patchy tan. And if you're going on honeymoon, you want something that's going to come off nicely and not, you know, be coming off in patches when you're in a bikini on a honeymoon on a beach. So Yeah, and then if you're super pale and you don't want a spray tan, you could get just a tinted body moisturiser with a tan in it. Okay. And it's all, like, it's trial and error, so I'd be trying this a good few months before and see what you like. I use Sienna X and Heishi. They're really good ones. And yeah, I've sprayed kind of every type of skin tone and they work well on everybody. They don't develop too dark on people who are fair. And, you know, I always have, there's an Irish bride, I won't say her name, she's famous, and she had a really bad spray tan and she came out and said that, oh my God, like, I had her, like, at the time she'd loved it, but then when she looks back in photos, she was like, oh my God, I was orange. So if I do have a bride who's like, oh no, I think it'll be okay to go really dark, I just whip out this photo on my phone and I Google the celeb and I'm like, this is what, and she's like, oh, maybe no, we'll go natural. So that's how you kind of can rein it in, because you don't want to look like you've had a spray tan. You want to look like you've glowy skin and you're just like super healthy, you know. You don't want to look tanned. It's not the day to look tanned unless yeah. you're going abroad, maybe, because we just don't have the backdrop. It's kind of pretty grey in Ireland a lot of the time, you
the
know?
Lighting, the natural yeah, lighting in Ireland in particular, good. And the UK as well, is the same, you know. The universe can't light us the way we need to yeah. be lit for that level of tan.
Less is more, you know. Yeah. And the overall tan, it's really just to give you that glow. And people like getting the spray tan because when they are going on honeymoon, then they're like, oh great, I feel great, you know, I have a little bit of a tan, but it's not so dark that it's going to wear off dreadfully, you know.
Yeah. How do you best prep your skin for the tan?
Exfoliation and moisturise. And if, again, you have any bumpy skin, something with a lactic acid in it, like I've said, the scrubby gloves.
On the day you don't moisturise, though, right?
Oh, God, no. There's no moisturising or exfoliating on the day, no. And your therapist, if she is spraying you on the day of your tan, she'll prep your elbows, knees and ankles with like the tiniest amount of moisturizer, and we know how much to moisturize the hands, you know. We might go in with a bit of moisturizer, whereas if you put like moisturizer everywhere, that when you get sprayed it will turn out green, whereas we know certain areas what to do and how much to use. So it's fine.
And you shouldn't have deodorant on.
No, that, I mean, it turns out green and you'll panic. It does wash out, but you're better off not even going there. And loose dark clothing and flip-flops. Everybody seems to forget flip-flops.
Someone asked about how do you make sure that your tan photographs well?
I don't really know. Yeah, I saw this question. I don't really know, because it's not like it's makeup, if that makes sense. There's not like a flashback in it with some makeup.
You never have tan and then in the photos you have a really white face.
Yeah, but that's your makeup. Oh. That's not the tan. That's because you have an SPF in the makeup and that's flashback in the makeup.
Okay.
Yeah. A couple of the MAC makeups have that. A lot of makeups have actually stopped putting the SPF in the foundations because that's what's given flashback.
Okay.
Yeah.
So should you on the day avoid SPF on your actual wedding day?
Well, your makeup artist presumably will know what to be using, and they're kind of versed in, they know what makeups don't have flashback, what foundations don't have flashback in them. That's nothing to do with your tan. That's to do with your foundation. I would always say as well, especially if you don't break out, get a light spray on your, a very, 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 a trickle of tan on your face, light spray, just to blend it in with the body to make it easier for the makeup artist. But they'll know. But no, that's to do with SPF and flashback in the foundation.
So trust in your glam squad, basically.
Yeah, basically.
Choose well. People well.
And then another listener has written in to say, I have open pores on my legs, so tan doesn't ever look good. Advice?
An ice cube, a cold ice cube, run that over the legs. Oh. And it closes the pores before your tan. So I'd probably do it about half an hour before your tan or spray tan or whatever. Rub the cold ice cube. You get this a lot of the time from shaving as well. You know, if you're constantly shaving, you're constantly opening the pores. Mm. So the really cold ice cube, it's not really nice, but I have to do it all over, kind of from the knee down, and then just pat it dry, and then in about 10 minutes then apply your tan.
That's very, very nice, clever. Yeah. Someone has asked, does fake tan stain wedding dresses?
It can do a little bit, like, you know, under the arms or on the inside. I remember on my wedding dress, a tiny bit on the inside, it washes out, you know. Go and get your dress dry cleaned straight away anyway, to, you know, you'll probably be doing that anyway to prevent the dirt, and you want to sell it or put it up or whatever, and it comes out easily. Yeah.
And someone also asked about antiperspirants, if there's any that you would recommend.
Mitchum is a really good one. Okay. And I use roll-ons. I just find they don't kind of give you that, you know, you can kind of be sticky and sweaty and everything. Yeah. So Mitchum is a really, really good one, yeah. And they have a couple of nice scents, yeah, in boots.
Oh, amazing. So we had some questions about nails.
Yes. Same idea about the timeline. So I guess a lot of people want to know, like, what order you do things in the week of. Yeah. So when should you get your mani-pedi done?
If you have really short hair growth and you get ages out of your waxing, get it done the week before the wedding. Get it out of the way, right? But if, like me, and your hair grows super fast, let's say I'm getting married on a Friday. So on the Monday, I'd get my waxing done, my tinting of my eyebrows, tinting of my lashes, my pedicure done that day. And then, like, on the Thursday, I'd probably get my hands done, nails and my spray tan, because you're leaving the nails fresh then, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Whereas your toes, whether it's shellac or normal, that's gonna last for ages, especially a normal polish. People always say, do I need shellac on my toes and my hands? I don't think you do. It's preference. But regular polish, when it's done properly and dried properly, it lasts forever on your toenails. So on the Monday, I'd probably be getting my waxing, my tinting, all of that jazz, pedicure. And then on the Thursday, your tan and your manicure or your shellac on your nails, so that's fresh.
Mm.
Yeah.
Someone asked, do you have any tips for finding a good nail salon? But I think that could probably apply to any kind of salon.
Just, I suppose, like, if you want something like different, you know, with like gold in the on the tips or something.
Okay.
Maybe that not every nail, you know, beauty salon would do. Maybe just go and see what the salon looks like. Go read reviews, you know. And there's loads of nail bars that are into art, so it depends what you're into, you know. But I definitely just maybe get a recommendation or go online and look at the reviews of the salon, and you'll find out quick enough whether they're good, you know.
Instagram, I guess, is a good way as well for
really
finding
good.
What they do.
Exactly, yeah.
And give them maybe like a test out.
Yeah, exactly, you know? Yeah. If you're going to someone's wedding or you're going on a night out, go in and get your nails done, you know.
Yeah.
What are your tips for prepping your feet for your wedding?
Foot scrub is nice. If it's in like the heat and things like that, a peppermint foot scrub is gorgeous on the feet. I suppose just like, again, make sure that you're moisturising your feet, because a lot of people leave their feet out, you know. What a really good tip is, let's say you've dry skin and that underneath, so scrub them with a scrubby glove or with, you can get those little loofah things for your feet, you know. And let's say you're at home, I'd put loads of like a thick body butter on, and you know, just like the fluffy socks from Penny's, put them on over your feet. If you can stick it in bed, stick it in bed. Sometimes I kick them off if it's too warm. And that just really kind of acts like a foot mask, so it's really nice. Maybe like get a pedicure a few months before the wedding to get the nails and the cuticles prepped, you know. And they can say, well, your nails are in great nick or whatever. Nail oils are fantastic. Doesn't have to be expensive. Pharmacies have almond oil, that's really good for your nails. You know, coconut oil, anything like that that you can find even in your press. But coconut oil, push that up into the cuticles. You want to always push the products up into the cuticles of the nails, because that's what actually feeds the nail bed. So that's all, you push all in there and that feeds it with nutrients. So
great. You mentioned there that you don't think necessarily shellac or semi-permanent is necessary always for toes.
No.
But for fingernails, would you say it's a safer bet?
I'd say it's a safer bet for longevity. And then if you're going, you're flying straight away a day or two later and you want your nails done and all the photographs, you know, definitely. I think it's just people are always, not necessarily the extensions and that kind of went down a little bit, and they're kind of back in, nail art and that is back in, but for weddings it's definitely shellac and like those kind of like nice nudie pinks, and creams and whites are actually quite popular as well on the nails for the weddings, you know. But yeah, I think it's a safer bet. It's going to last ages, you know.
And in terms of the style and the colour that you're going to do on your fingernails, would you say in general it's good to stick with something fairly neutral, fairly safe?
I think it is, but I mean, it depends on your personality. If you want to go for something crazy, go for something crazy. It depends on your style as well.
Yeah.
But something neutral will just carry you through a lot more events, I suppose. And, you know, if you're going with an orange on your nails, it might not necessarily wear off that well or grow out that well. Whereas if it's a neutral, they tend to grow out and you don't really notice the regrowth, especially if you're away and they're growing out really fast, you know, so.
And it will work for like your day two outfit, whatever it is, and whatever your mini moon or honeymoon plans are.
So on to waxing, tinting, lashes and brows. Is it possible to get your lashes and brows naturally fuller in time for a wedding?
Yeah, I mean, you can do. I suppose just to put the tweezers down is the main thing with the brows. Literally throw it out so that you're not even tempted to.
This is like putting the chocolate cake in the bin, isn't it?
You know what it's like if you're there and next all you're like, oh, that one, and next all you've nothing left, you know? So I literally don't own a tweezers. I just will not have it there. In my professional kit, I obviously have tweezers, but not in my, I keep it far away from me. Because I just will go hell for leather, and I would have quite thin ends. You can use a thing, Boots do it, and it's in the baby section. I think it's zinc and castor oil. It's like a nappy cream. And some very well-known brow artist told me about that. And it does work, it does work. Especially when my ends are quite thin. So just put a little bit on a cotton bud, and before you go to bed, maybe just kind of comb it through, you know, or brush it through the brows. Lashes, there's loads of things. Like Revitalash and things like that. I've never tried them. I know a couple of people who've tried them and it worked maybe for one and not for the other. Extensions are really popular still for people. If you don't want to commit to extensions, you can do the, you know, the strip lashes that the makeup artist will provide on the day. And sometimes what's really pretty is if you get the makeup artist to Because sometimes, like, I have quite small eyes, so if I get a strip lash, I kind of look just so silly, and it looks very heavy, like butterfly wings nearly on me. So they can actually cut the strip in half and use, you know, like the thicker, fuller end.
Yeah.
And then just put it, like, from the middle out. So it's just kind of elongating the eye, kind of nearly getting the cat eye nearly. Yeah. Mm. That's really pretty. LVL lashes are super, super popular. They're the perming.
Yeah.
They're amazing. They last about, like, they say 6 weeks. It's about 8 to 10 weeks to get out of them.
Yeah, and I'm a big fan.
Yeah, that's a curl and a perm, and it's actually not great if you do want extensions or lashes because they're super curly, so that the lash won't sit on top of them. So that's more if you want to keep things au naturel. And I loved them because, especially if you're on honeymoon, they just look like you're so pretty and your eyes are awake. But lashes and extensions are still really popular. And your extensions, if they're done properly by a professional, they should last way into your honeymoon, you know. Strip lash will come off that night, so you don't have to be dealing with it the next day.
So both good options.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And on the week of the wedding itself, if you're getting your brows done, should you let them pluck your eyebrows? Or should you go for wax, or what's safer?
Wax probably is going to give you a cleaner. So, you know, if you have those fine downy hairs, like the baby fluffy ones underneath, but just be like, well, I'm presuming you're going to go to somebody that you're going to be going to a long time because you're going to get your prep really well now. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you're going to know your therapist and they're going to know not to butcher your eyebrows.
Yeah.
And just say, look, I just want the underneath tidied up. And usually, like, we do wax and then, you know, you really only tweeze and the ones that don't really come out with the wax, you know. Threading is a really good option for some people, but I know some people can break out in the little bumps from that as well. Yeah, you can definitely tweeze, but I mean, you'd be saying like just a little bit, just to tidy up. And wax will give you that bit of a cleaner. And if you're using vitamin A, make sure that they're using a barrier cream before they wax you, because you can lift off the top layer of skin.
Ooh.
Yeah. So just, you know, if you're on, there's a certain product that's out at the minute and a lot of people are wearing it and their moisturizer contains vitamin A, so make sure to tell them I am using a product with vitamin A in it. Yeah.
And onto bikini waxes, what are you finding are the most common for brides?
They do go with kind of like Brazilians or Hollywoods, because they're usually going on some type of beach or honeymoon and they're going to be in a bikini, and I suppose you just don't want anything popping out and surprising anybody on the beach. So they kind of say, well, even if they wouldn't usually get that, they do a trial maybe for their hens, or, you know, and then you're going in and just getting a little bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's not really a trend, to be quite honest. It's just, even if you have somebody that always gets a certain bikini, they usually just take a little bit more because I'm going to be wearing a bikini. So Brazilians and Hollywoods are still quite popular,
With a lot of these things, it kind of sounds like what you're comfortable with.
Exactly.
In your day-to-day.
Exactly.
You know, before you get
married.
Yeah,
like there's no trends as such, you know, a way to go. I just think people always say, oh, we'll take off a little bit more because they're going on honeymoon. That's about it,
Yeah. We also had a couple of questions from grooms. Somebody asked, what treatments should men look at having done pre-wedding?
For their face?
Yeah.
I mean, their skin is no different, men or women. Like, you know, we both need the same. They both need hydration, probably. They might not have had a good regime. So I'd say if they even get a nice, like, exfoliating face wash, or, you know, like, something brightening.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're going to have a beard or not. Maybe if they go and get a nice hot towel shave, that's great for really exfoliating the skin and treating the skin. I've had a couple of grooms to be come in to get their nails done, to get a manicure, because maybe they know that their hands are going to be in photos and, like, they've really thick cuticles and things like that, you know. So I've had a couple, not many, but a lot of grooms come in and get their back waxed.
Okay.
A lot of that for the wedding. And it's important to actually get a trial for that, because a lot of men, if they have never had it waxed before, they can actually break out really bad. They could be, you know, allergic to the type of wax or something like that. And then a lot of the time you do break out in little bumps on the back, and it does calm down, but it could take a week for some and it could take 2 weeks for some. And then the second time it's usually fine, but I definitely be getting that done a couple of months to test out the waters with it, you know, and definitely always do patch testing for your waxing and tinting and things like that.
And I guess for any guys who maybe don't get beauty treatments or have never got one before, or indeed a lot of brides who maybe this is the first time they're getting into all this, can you reassure them that beauty therapists have seen everything and there's nothing to be embarrassed about?
Oh my god, I have seen, like, everything, lads. Like, I've seen everything. I mean, yeah, there's just, don't even, no, sure. There's no shame, no, nothing. Everything goes out the window, so it's grand. I've seen everything. And as well, like that's the other thing. If your beauty therapist makes you feel awkward or embarrassed or anything, leave. You know, they're not there to do that. They're there to do their job. And we've seen everything. We're professionals. And if someone says, oh, I get it a lot, like, oh God, you know, I'm getting a tan. I'm like, you look great. You know, people beat themselves up. Every client that I have nearly beats them. Oh God, I really, you know, and they're trying to hide. And I'm like, seen everything before. And when you're spray tanning, I'm not looking at the body. I'm making sure the tan is going on perfectly, to be honest. Mm. You know, so
they're just another canvas.
It's just another canvas. It's just another body. And I'm literally looking at, you know, we're not streaking and we're patching and how we're going. So, you know, if you ever feel like you're being even sold down the line, you know, for the bottom line for products, like the list of products, you know, of course we'll recommend products. It doesn't mean you have to go and buy every single product.
Mm.
If you ever feel like that, I would leave and find somewhere else that makes you feel comfortable. You know, go with your gut. You know how you feel, and if you trust the person, go with your gut always. You should be feeling confident with them and secure and safe with them, yeah.
It's a great place to wrap it up.
Kira, I think you need your own podcast.
Yeah.
Just for the sheer volume of information that's in that head of yours.
Thank you.
But thank you so much for helping us. I'm sure we'll get many, many follow-up questions.
We will. Thank you for having me.
And if you want to follow Kira on Instagram, she's a great follow. You can find her at Kira_Noah_Fia. And you'll find lots of photos of her gorgeous kids as well as more beauty tips as well.
That was wonderful.
Thank you so much.
One Fab Day, Listener Dilemmas.
Each week on the podcast, we pull a listener dilemma from our digital mailbag and try to provide some guidance, which will hopefully be helpful to other listeners who are in the same boat. Claire, you've got our listener question this week.
Yes. This listener writes, I'm not coming with an exciting question about my upcoming nuptials as they are no longer going ahead. I collected my wedding dress in September, and by the end of October, my fiancé told me he had changed his mind. I now have an unused, unworn, unaltered couture gown sitting in my wardrobe that I cannot sell. The price was €3,595, and I've already reduced it to €3,000, but to no avail. I have an advert on sellmyweddingdress.ie and I've contacted a number of bridal boutiques which have been reluctant to sell my gown. The only place that has come back to me said the highest they would offer to sell it for is €2,000. Any tips on where I can get the most for my dress? I don't want to sell it for half price.
So this is tricky because obviously this person understandably is in no mood to be navigating the world of forums and wedding dress selling at this time because, you know, it's a tricky time. This is hard. Like, really, what you have to think of is the potential buyer for your dress. And if you're only saving them a couple of €100, they're probably not going to be attracted by that offer. They're going to want to just go to the boutique and have the boutique experience.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say 3,000 is really a realistic number to expect.
No, because a lot of what went into the price of your dress was the fact that you got it in the size that you wanted. It was probably made, not necessarily made to measure, but made to order. And yeah, again, the whole boutique experience. So generally, I think for a secondhand wedding dress, even if it hasn't been worn, it would need to be at least a 30 to 50% discount to entice any buyers. And I know that's not necessarily what you want to hear when you've spent so much money, but that's kind of the market and how it is.
Yeah. And it, like we're saying this because it might save you time in, you know, putting loads of effort into selling this dress. Like, I'm not confident you'll get 3,000 for it, so that's why we say 30 to 50% will increase your chance of getting some of your money back rather than, you know, having that money be out of your account for years while you hope that you find the right buyer. You could try getting in touch with the boutique as well and explain the situation. Maybe you've done that already, but it's always worth a go.
Yeah, or directly to the designer as
They're not like obliged really to do anything for you, but they might have some ideas. That's always worth doing,
particularly if they have a sample sale coming up. You could ask if they'll take it for that. Ireland doesn't really have the same spaces online as the US have a lot of really good bridal resale sites. So obviously you're in Ireland, so I think places like Depop are really good. Depop are really good than the likes of Adverts and Dundeel. It might not be where you think people are looking for a wedding dress, but you never know. Also, it'll mean those sites rank very well. So if someone's just searching on Google, those sites will throw it up.
Yeah.
And also have a look in any relevant Facebook groups as well. There are often a lot of groups for people buying and selling things to do at weddings. So you might be able to find something there. Definitely think about how you're listing it. So you're trying to get people to find it. So you have to think about the keywords. So make sure you have the designer included, the boutique where you bought it, and as much description as you can. And describe it, even if you're saying the same thing, in three different ways. So say it's a boho wedding dress. You want to say boho, bohemian,
alternative, eclectic, cool, whatever,
modern, long sleeve, whatever describes it, sequined, backlist, use as many descriptive words as you can so that it throws up in as many searches as possible.
And try and include the name of the dress if it has one as well. Like they're often named after female names, or sometimes it's a code number.
Yeah.
But it's worth using that as well.
And the size information as well is useful.
Yeah.
But yeah, best of luck, and I really hope you're able to sell it.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, Ross.
Hi, Ross.
Take the Emily.
Take the Rachel.
Take the Rachel.
Step away from the spreadsheets.
Almost every couple hits a day, week, or entire month where wedding planning gets a little overwhelming and they just need a break. Which is why we recommend a new non-wedding thing to do every week. So Selena, it's your turn. What have you got for us today?
So my recommendation this week is to book tickets for a pop-up restaurant.
Love this one.
So the reason why I love this is because pop-up restaurants tend to give you an opportunity in your area or city to eat the kind of food that you can't get every day of the week. So the one that me and my other half booked this week is for an Ethiopian pop-up that's nice. Happening in Dublin. Now, we've eaten Ethiopian food lots in different cities and we really like it. But as far as I know, there's no Ethiopian restaurant per se in Dublin.
If you know of one, send it over.
Please send me the link. Yeah, thank you. If it's your auntie's house, like, I'm sorry, I probably can't come to her house and eat it, but I would love to. So I just think it's a great way to try and, I mean, broaden your food horizons, but kind of get that fix for the food that maybe isn't in your area. And they can be great crack as well. They're usually in maybe something that functions as like a cafe during the day or a cool event space. You're often thrown together with other people and you meet people and you get chatting.
Yeah, they can often be like a supper club setup where it's very small, intimate dinner.
Yeah, so I just love this one. It feels a bit more special to go somewhere completely new, I think. You know, we all have our restaurants that we like to go to for special occasions or for a random spontaneous Friday night, but a pop-up does feel like a bit more like a date or a night out to me.
No, I like this one for getting out of a restaurant rut, which I think we're all guilty of falling into.
I mean, I basically have 3 Chinese restaurants that I go to all the time. So I'm branching out this week.
The One Fab Date Wedding Podcast.
And that's a wrap on this week's episode of the One Fab Day Wedding Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. If you like what you hear, please spread the word and send a link to a friend, work colleague, or someone you know getting married. We'd also love it if you could rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. It goes a long way towards helping new listeners find us.
If you've got a wedding planning question or you simply want to get in touch, drop us an email at hello@onefabday.com or slide into our DMs. We're at onefabday on all the major social channels. And please don't forget to visit us over at onefabday.com. This month, we've been covering wedding dress shopping extensively with lots of tips and inspiration for finding your dream dress. So make sure to check us out.
The One Fab Day Wedding Podcast.